We studied last week about redemption. Jesus was the Redeemer, and he's sitting at the right hand of God, and he's our Redeemer. So we want to be redeemed from the darkness and translated into the life of God inside of Christ. And because God the Father is perfect, and he created man perfect, but God is not only love, he's also judge. And because he's just, he cannot let sin go and transgressions go unpunished. So Jesus came to the earth, and he took our punishment. He took our rejection. He took our judgment in the belly of the earth when Jesus was punished there. Amen. Now we will go in this morning about his priesthood. He was born of a virgin. He was born of a virgin, came to the earth, lived, and then he was rejected by the Roman government and by the Israelites or Hebrews, and he was crucified. He was on the cross. He was made to be sin. He was made to be cursed. Then he went to the belly of the earth, into their earth there, and he took our judgment and our punishment right there. Then God the Father said, "It's finished," and called him and caused him to be firstborn from the dead and be set at his right hand. And at that time, he was assigned kingship, king of creation. He was assigned God of creation. He was assigned the high priest over the creation. And so we had a choice. We can live in sin and death and be like Adam, or we can choose Jesus and be born again and come into the family of God. And when we are born again, he also becomes high priest. And let's talk about that together. Amen. And read that, please, Darlene.
But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come.
That's right. Stop right there. Now, let the word of God talk to you. Christ, it means anointed one and his anointing. So the anointing is when you're appointed. I'm talking about spiritual things. Anointing is when you're appointed to a position and God equips you and gives you the ability to fulfill that office. Like me, having this little old country boy. But God chose to put me in a ministry, and he put an anointing on me. And I see things and know things I could never do naturally. Because that anointing, so Christ is in this anointing, but look what he's high priest over. Okay, now the priest ministers between God and man. That's what the priest does. He's in the middle. He ministers to God on behalf of man. So look what Jesus as high priest ministers, good things. The devil sold lies that God gives bad things, bad weather, car wrecks, losing the job. He does not give those things. That's the work of the devil, the work of Satan. Amen. God gives good things. He gave salvation to you. He gives you his wisdom. He gives you his hope. He gives you his faith. And most of all, he gives you his love that does not fail. Amen. So when I approach the throne of God and Jesus as my high priest, I expect good. He tells me to do something. John, you need to correct it. I may not see it. I have to give that up? I won't give that up. I kind of like that. No, I don't give up donuts. I like donuts. Yeah? He says, now this is an example only because I like donuts. He didn't tell me to quit. But he says, you got to quit donuts. See, he sees out here 30 years out and says, that's how those donuts are going to affect you. It's going to hurt you. And I can't see it because my body is saying, hey, we don't want to give up that sugar, no. Because we like sugar. Yeah. We want to stop it. You see what I mean? He gets this good thing. It's a good thing because it's going to protect me for the future. So that's what's happened. We might like always fussing at that. I wish that stupid anchor man would shut up on television. He's dumb. Well, you shouldn't say that. I don't care. That's what I feel about him. It's my opinion of him. But he's, God's trying to help you out. You see what I mean? Example again. So I'm just telling you, when God asks you to please stop something, it's for your good. It's not just trying to, see, the devil wants you to think, oh, God's going to just take things away from you. And the reason the devil thinks that way, because he got taken away from. He was anointed cherub. Now he's a fallen angel who's going to be dedicated to the lake of fire forever, condemned to the lake of fire forever. So he's been taken away from by God. So he's trying to impose that on you and on me. And we say, no. We receive the good things that God had prepared for us, and we're going to live them and walk in them. Amen. And somebody say, amen, please. What's this? He, the Holy Spirit, just told me to emphasize to come. So that means he has planned good things for you forever to come. It's future. Not only now, but every day. Every day, he's got the good things planned for you and me. Okay, he said, I can go on now. With greater and more perfect tabernacle. See, that's referring back to the law. Moses instigated the law and the Levitical priesthood under the command of God. God could not withstand sin. Sin had to be judged. So what he did, he said, told Moses to set up the tabernacle and set up so the high priest could come in once a year and offer the blood of bulls and goats and lambs and everything so they could be atoned, covered our sin. But we know after last week's study, our sins have been remitted and what?
Redeemed.
Another scripture? Blotted out. They don't exist no more. So we can go into, oh, I even expect Brother Fred to get excited, so you might as well go into what? A perfect church, tabernacle. You can go right into the throne room of God Almighty, and he sees you as perfect because there's no sin against you. He's brought it out by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, Satan's always trying to make you think, oh, you did this wrong, you did this wrong. But see, God don't see those. They've been brought out by the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't exist in heaven. They're not written down in heaven. Amen? Praise be to God. So I can go into that perfect tabernacle at the throne of grace boldly. Amen. And stand there. Ooh, I love this. I can stand there as sinless. He went into that perfect tabernacle. Or in other words, he went in before the throne of God. Now, let me point this out. Here's God the Father and his throne. Maybe I should do this. This is God the Father and his throne. And right in front of the throne is the mercy seat. And Jesus came into this perfect place, this perfect tabernacle. He came into it, and he poured out his blood on the mercy seat. Okay, in his perfect tabernacle. He poured the blood, his perfect blood, for the sins of mankind on the mercy seat. Amen? So, here I come in, boldly to this tabernacle, this perfect holy of holy. I come in here. What is God the Father looking over? The blood of Jesus. So before he can deal with me, he has to deal with that blood. So even though I'm not perfect yet, he sees me perfect because he sees me through the blood. So he says, son, what do you need? I need your help, Father. I've got a mess on my hand. You do. Well, I got an answer for your mess. Can I have it? We sure can. Well, Father, why didn't they give it to me? The key to the kingdom of God's answers is that name. Above every name, the name of Jesus unlocks those blessings, unlocks the plan of God for your life. So when we approach that throne and God the Father is looking across the blood of the Lamb of God and we request, His answer is yes. But the key is that I've got to ask in Jesus' name, because all the promises of God are in the new covenant. And that covenant is made between God the Father and God Jesus, the Lamb of God. And so I have to ask to His name to access those blessings, because God the Father and Jesus made that new covenant sealed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Ooh, Shema. Now, so we see that the whole thing is built on His blood and the covenant between Him and God Almighty. Amen? So everything is made holy because of the blood of the Lamb. There we see He entered into this holy place once for everyone. That will never happen again. Once and all. Amen? So He got me too. He got you too. He bought us eternal redemption. So we're always will be the purchase of God. That will never change. Once you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will be a son of God forever. It will never change. It will be for eternity. Amen? So we're not building our lives on shaky ground. We're building on the solid rock of the Word of God, the Word of the New Covenant, and the blood of Jesus, that perfect Lamb of God. Amen? That is definitely shouting ground. Even condensed. Thank you. Look, for the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifers sprinkled the unclean, sanctified for purifying the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit offer Himself without spot to God, cleanse. That's the only thing that once you realize how perfect the Father is and how perfect Jesus is and how perfect the Holy Spirit is, you feel so, oh, I don't have a chance. But see, the blood washes my conscience, and I don't think like that. I just say, thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because I am washed and I am cleansed by that perfect blood. Amen. Amen? So now that I'm cleansed by the blood, I'm purified by that purifying blood, I can now serve God face to face. I can come boldly and look across that holy blood and look into a holy Father, because I am now clean by that blood. Not by my works, not by my giving, not my doing. By the blood only. It's the only one that cleanses me. How do I know? Because I am accepted in that perfect tabernacle. I'm not perfect yet, but the blood intervenes for me. It makes me perfect. The blood mediates me to God. For this reason, He is the mediator of the new covenant. In that new covenant is salvation. In that new covenant is the gifts of the Spirit. In that new covenant is a new birth. In that new covenant is protection. In the new covenant is provision and inheritance of the kingdom of God. By means of death, for the redemption of transgression. So by Jesus being made sin and then going into the belly of earth and receiving the judgment of our sin, he, what, paid the redemption of our transgressions under the first covenant. That those who are called may receive the promise of what? So we were called to God, and when Jesus, we heard the preaching of the gospel, that was God calling us to him, and we accepted that call by confessing Jesus Christ as our Lord, and we accepted him as our Lord, as our Savior, as the one who paid for our sins. We received the promise of eternal inheritance. See, we think about, I confess Jesus, I'm born again, I'm going to go to heaven. That's part of our inheritance. Heaven is our inheritance. We know an inheritance, somebody's got to die, don't they? That's the way the word, this idea. Jesus died so we can have an inheritance with God. Jesus shed his blood so we can have an inheritance with God. So that eternal inheritance tells me I will never lose it. I will always have it. Heaven is that part of that inheritance. I will have it ever, forever. It's like I have the name of Jesus. Amen? And I will be able to use that name forever. Praise God. And I have the gift of God's gift to being his son. That means he's going to train me to be like him forever. Let's go on, brother. I can get too much into that. One who intervenes between two persons. I thought it was the man. I was talking about the mediator. Remember, it says Jesus was a mediator between man and God. And he mediates what? He mediates the covenant. Okay? The New Testament is a new covenant. Yes. The promises of God in the New Testament, Jesus mediates those. So I am not worthy to receive any part of that inheritance. So if I go to the Father and I say, by Jesus' stripes I am healed, I'm not deserving. I don't deserve it. So I need somebody to mediate that for me. So Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. He said, Father, your son John is requesting of the new covenant in my name to be healed. He don't see me. He sees Jesus. He talks to Jesus. Jesus is good. And he says, Father, now he knows, and I know, and you know, by those stripes, I purchased healing for John. And he's asking us because he believes that. Father God says, yes, amen. Amen is what? So be it, right? And we know the scripture says all the promises of God are yes and amen. All the promises of God to he that believes. So I'm believing to be healed by Jesus' stripes. And so the Father God says, it's granted. Amen. And Jesus says, John, it's granted, it's yours. But it still hurts. Receive it, John, by faith in me, and faith will quench that transgression, or faith will quench that sickness. See, we have not been taught enough how powerful faith is. So your faith in Jesus has washed your record clean forever. That's how powerful faith is. And we haven't realized that. And we're busy going. Elizabeth is a good teacher. So when God gets ready for it, she's going to be teaching a long time. Because it takes a while to teach us. Faith is so much involved. I mean, but my point is, we have a person that will always intervene for you, no matter what the problem is, no matter if you cause it or not. Because even though I did something dumb, Jesus on the cross bore and paid the price for that stupidity. So there is an answer over here. Even though I caused the problem, I don't wear that stuff. I walk on out of it and say, Jesus, I confess my sin of that dumb thing, and you are just and faithful, Father, to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Amen. Amen. And then somebody said, well, I still have memories of it. You got to take by faith and apply that cleansing blood and wash your consciousness. As we read the first scripture, it says the blood will wash and cleanse your conscience so we can walk away and have peace with God in our inner man. Honey, come on up. You're supposed to finish, honey.
To finish up, Christ is the only one that could be the go-between between God and us, because he is God and he is man. There's a verse that says he feels our infirmities because he was man. He knows what we go through. And yet he made that was a beautiful example. A beautiful picture. Here's the Father on the throne, and I come for help, and he sees me through the blood, through the sacrifice, through the payment. It's like if you went to the bank and you wanted to get some money out of the bank, they see you through your account. When I go to the window, they don't say, oh, you have a nice smile, I'll give you anything you want. No. They don't even look up. They say, what's your account number? I don't get anything from that bank without going through what's been paid for or deposited already. That's just a small example of God. We go to him, Lord, I need healing, I need protection. I'm praying for my coworker. I'm praying for my daughter, my sister, my aunt. I'm praying for the country. I'm praying for the president. I'm praying for those that were hurt in this tornado. And he sees that request through what he already did, through what he already provided. And so this is just the book. I like the book of Hebrews, but it's not really written in a way that United States of America Christians can understand, because it was written to Jews. And so the Jews have all this history. The Jews are familiar with what the high priest does. The Jews are familiar with the sacrifice. The Jews were familiar with bringing a bull or bringing a goat or bringing a turtle dove to the high priest. The Jews were used to all this. And so all this, these words that are used in the book of Hebrews, we have to learn what they mean, because we're not necessarily raised as Jews. Amen? So here's the writer of Hebrews trying to explain to Jews that we have a mediator. We don't have a high priest in the earth. We don't have a man, because men die. Then you got to get another one, and the man dies. And you got to get another one, and the man dies. We've got a high priest forever, and his name is
Jesus.
Yes. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, this high priest does the job of mediation. That means he talks to God on man's behalf, and he talks to man on God's behalf. So you got trouble, you got problems, you have needs, you want to be protected. Your mediator, your Jesus, your anointed one, your Christ will go to God on your behalf. Now, what's so cool is it says also in Hebrews, you can go to God. You come boldly to the throne of grace. But I tell you what, until that blood was shed, you couldn't do it. You could not come before God. You're a sinner. You'd be zapped. Your sin would cause you to just turn to ash right there. You couldn't. But the blood is there. Amen? You've been redeemed. Jesus went to the cross. He shed his blood. He went to the heavenly place, it says, and put his blood on the heavenly mercy seat. So when God looks at you, just like John was saying, he sees you perfect. When you look at me, you don't see me perfect. You can find a million things wrong with my life. But God said, I see you. I see you, Rod. I see you, Marvin. I see you, Philip. I see you, Fred. I see you, John, through the perfect blood. And so you look perfect to me. You know that expression of wearing rose-colored glasses means you don't see any troubles? People make fun of you maybe for looking through rose-colored glasses. Well, I think that's pretty scriptural, because God is looking through the blood at you, at me. And Christ is the one and only mediator between God and man. That's why these other religions don't work. They don't have anybody to mediate to God on their behalf. If you don't go through Jesus, you don't get to God. That's just the way it is. And Jesus makes reconciliation between God and man by his all-perfect atoning sacrifice. Jesus Christ, the mediator, must be divine, God, and he must be human, man, so that he can represent the one to the other. Amen. He's the perfect mediator, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect Son of God, the perfect Savior, the perfect Lord. And we are, quote unquote, in him. Now, I don't mean he cut open and I step inside of him. I don't mean that. But we're in him because he has pulled us in perfect unity into him. You might say, well, I'm not in perfect unity with Christ. I'm telling you, by faith, he sees you that way. He sees me through such strong love. Marvina, he sees you through such strong love. If there's something wrong, he knows. He can correct it. Zeta, Jimmy, isn't that wonderful? What a God. What a God we serve. What a God.
Amen.
So we strive also, John and I have made this promise to each other, to see each other as God sees us. Now, it's easy to see, oh, you didn't pick up your towel and you didn't wash your socks, or I don't know, what do you not do right? I don't know. But we have decided, we've chosen, we're determined not to see each other as we are, but through the eyes of love. Through the eyes of God. And we've been married 21 years. And we're still loving each other because we chose, we determined, I refuse. I think those thoughts. Why didn't he do this and why didn't he do that? And I'm sure he has a few of those thoughts himself. I hope it's a few. But we've determined to see each other through the blood, through the love of Jesus Christ. And that's what's going to make this church grow. When we see each other through love. You know we love you. Maybe you don't do anything right, but I don't think about it and I don't notice it. I refuse to notice it because God, if there's something wrong, God will fix it. I don't have to be tossing and turning at night about that. God will fix it. So I just see you as complete. I see you as perfect. You see us as perfect. You still love us. We've been here a year and a half, you know that? And you still love us. So I know you're looking at us through the love of God. You're looking at us. You are obeying the scripture about letting Jesus be the mediator between us. And you know the devil wants to bring offense. Oh, the Beards didn't get there till late. The Beards forgot to turn on the coffee pot. The Beards didn't do this and didn't do that. So then offense. Offense means a fence, right? A fence starts being built between whoever we allow those thoughts to come in. I'm not having a fence. I'm tearing down the fences. Amen? And I'm saying, God loves you, so I'm going to love you. And you're saying, God loves you, Elizabeth, so we're going to love you. Amen? And we have this perfect Jesus Christ, not only an example, but a help to cause us to be able to do this. And it has to be done by faith. It has to be, we have to see what we don't see and believe what we don't see and think what we don't see, because we want to think what God thinks and see what God sees. Amen. Oh, bless us, honey, please.
Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you. You have given us eternal inheritance. So I loose the inheritance you've planned for this church and for these people. I loose it on them in their everyday life. In Jesus' name, their growing in wisdom toward you, growing in understanding, growing in perfectness. Father, they are excited about being your child. In Jesus' name, protect them. Amen.
Amen. Be blessed.